want to welcome all of you to our Wednesday evening Lenten service. We're looking forward to the second Sunday in Lent. I also want to welcome those of you that are on our Facebook Live and via our phone patch. Do we have any suggestions to start with? In that little Lenten supplement that we have, number 15. Amazing line, isn't it? That last stanza, if our love were but more simple, we should take him at his word, and our lives would be all sunshine in the sweetness of our Lord. Someone else have a song?
Number 8 in the same
supplement, number 8.
Thank you.
have another song?
95 in the blue
book. 95 in our blue book.
Thank you.
one more, and then I've asked Hans to lead us in prayer. Number 85 in our blue book.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we come this evening during this season that the church has set aside to look to those things pertaining to the suffering of our Savior, the sacrifice that he bore on that center cross of Calvary for us. These things sometimes feel heavy, but really he has taken the burden, he has bore the weight. And we can rejoice even this evening that he said, "It is finished." That he saw that work to completion, not only on that cross, but to conquer death and hell and the devil for us. And that he indeed rises victorious and sits on your right hand, Father, making intercession for us. We're thankful for these songs that we have sung that point us to the scriptures and point us to that work. And just thinking how so many of them talk of the blood and how even your word in that Old Testament book of Leviticus says that there's life in the blood. And we see that there's even cleansing in the blood. There is that fountain that is filled with blood, that we can be washed white as snow, that our sin can be covered by that robe of righteousness that he has given for us, and that we have that robe for that wedding feast, that we can look and acknowledge that we are indeed invited for that feast, that the banquet table has been set. Oh, what a joy that is for us this evening, Father. Thank you for this time that we can come to hear this precious word and continue to be reassured of all these things. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Maybe we could sing that there's an eye that never sleeps. I guess it's number two in this.
Thank you.
else have a song here? Before we turn to a brief meditation. Number 75 in the Blue Book. Greet you with grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. I remember as in my early teens, I didn't know what to do with Lent. I don't know if you have had any of those thoughts. You know, we hear about so many parts of the church, denominations that have very specific things that they do, you know, with ashes, they fast, pray, And those are important things. You know, we don't want to demean anything that draws us closer unto God. And I think sometimes I approached Lent with that thought, well, what do I have to do? You know, how can I make something that is approved? You know, the fact that we want to approach our God, and we struggle sometimes with our faith, the fact that we are not worthy. And truly, when we recognize through the work of the Spirit that we are not worthy, that is the truth. But we know that the Word doesn't leave us there. The Gospel doesn't leave us there. It draws us to a place where we look upon that which God has supplied, the gift of salvation. That's truly what it is, a gift. And how do we, you know, how many times, I know I probably heard that in my young life, and yet it didn't stick because, you know, I struggled with what do I have to do? You know, and I think Lent has a large part for us to do. And I think the psalmist sums it up the best in the 46th Psalm. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, and so what we have to do is to turn to this Word, don't we? We have to turn to what God has given us, what He has supplied, you know, and the fact that the songs that we sing, the hymns that are a part of our praise to God, they incorporate this Word. They point us to what God has supplied, and we are truly blessed by them. But the power of the Word, the power of the Gospel, is that which God instills within our hearts through Christ Jesus, through the work of the Spirit, to bring to us that comfort and that rest. You know, and so I think many times we look at Lent as a time of turmoil and of struggle, because we do recognize our sin and the debt that we have. But how much important for us to look upon the promises that the Gospel brings, and to know that God Himself has supplied unto us. One of the lectionaries, and if you're interested in reading the scriptures, there's a daily lectionary that Vanderbilt University puts out that has the same links as it that our Federation website does. And, you know, if there's a daily reading there, if that's something that you feel like, you know, what do I do for Lent? Turn to the Word. Look at what God has given. And so I was looking at what it was for this week, and it's very similar to what our lectionary is that we use on Sunday. But this one was from the Psalms, for yesterday. They don't use the Gospel. They use the three Old Testament, the Psalm and an epistle text. But the Psalm for this, for yesterday, was this. It was from Psalm 27. And you can find that on page 438 in your pew Bible. But part of Psalm 7 was listed as one of the readings for this day. And I'm going to read from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. We'll read this in Jesus' name. That's Psalm 27, beginning with verse 7. It says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And how much encouragement the children of God needed back then, right? Just as we do today. That encouragement to wait upon God, to know that he hears us. That when we approach unto him in our petitions and in our prayers, you know, that he hears us. You know, and I love that word wait. The description that I love best of that word in the Hebrew is like a stranded rope bound together. You know, as we, if you look at a stranded rope, how strong that rope truly is. And that's how we are to be with this word. You know, that we are woven into this word. You know, the Apostle Paul says that it's in him whom we live and move and have our being. You know, that's the gift that we have when the scriptures have become ours, when that word becomes life unto us. I'm going to read also from the epistle that's set aside for yesterday. It's from the second chapter of Philippians. And that is found on page 867 in the Pew Bible. And I'd like to read the first 17 verses of that. That's Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul had established this congregation. It was a small congregation. It was one that eventually grew to a certain size. But, you know, when Paul wrote this, he was in Rome. He was a prisoner. And he had received a letter carried by Epaphroditus, who had been a big part of the ministry there in Philippi. And so this letter is a response, a message to the Philippian congregation. And before we read that, I just want to, you know, I appreciate the background that, you know, we've been studying in Acts, and we've heard about Paul and the Philippian jailer and all of the events that took place. It wasn't always an easy place for Paul. He was beaten. He was put in jail. And yet, there was something that God worked within his heart. It was a love for that congregation. And I think we see that throughout the entirety of his letter. But there was a professor, Agar Beat, that wrote back in January of 1889. He closed out a commentary on this epistle itself. And I just want to read that because I just appreciated the insight he had. He says, with this reply, which is this epistle, a gift infinitely more precious than that he brought from Philippi, Epaphroditus starts on his homeward journey. The joy caused by his return and the effect of this wonderful letter when first read in the church in Philippi are hidden from us. And we may also say that with this letter, the church itself passes from our view. Today, in the silent meadows, quiet cattle browse among the ruins which mark the site of what once was a flourishing Roman colony of Philippi, the home of the most attractive church of the apostolic age. But the name and the fame of the spiritual influence of that church will never pass. To myriads of men and women in every age and nation, the letter written in a dungeon at Rome and carried along the Ignatian way by an obscure Christian messenger has been a light divine and a cheerful guide among the most rugged paths in life. As I watch and myself rejoice in the brightness of that far-shining light and glance at those silent ruins, I see fulfilled the ancient prophecy, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God will stand forever. And that is the truth of what we have in this word. Sometimes I think we feel it as a small congregation. We wonder, well, why are we so few? Why do we gather? You know, what is the point? Well, the point is that God is the sustainer. It is his word that will stand, that will be supplied. We don't know the outreach that God will supply, the hearts that he will bring, but we know that even one heart is brought to that place where they can rejoice in the goodness that Christ has provided. Then we can say that it has been worth it all. The gift that God gives unto us is a word that will stand forever. So let's read from the second chapter what Paul wrote. He says, and again, reading in Jesus' name, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. He says, if there be any, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was it also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and it took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered up a sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also ye joy and rejoice with me. Amen. Amazing that a prisoner can have such a freedom of heart and a freedom of spirit. And that's the gift that God brings to us, that he desires to supply to us on a daily basis, that knowledge that we have been given a consolation, right? Paul says, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit of God, any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, which being of one accord and of one mind. You know, God calls us to looking upon what God has given to us in Christ Jesus. You know, we have lots of ideas, don't we? With lots of theology that runs through the course of this world around us, perhaps within even our own minds and heart, but we're drawn to the one central figure that we speak of in Lent, is unto Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know, and the gift that we have is when we look upon that cross, we don't see just one who has died, because we know that when Paul and the apostles speak of the cross, they're speaking of that entire work of redemption, aren't they? Of the humiliation, as we have sometimes heard it called, when Christ came down to this world, when he took upon himself our form. You know, the fact that Paul says, you know, that we should let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not at every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The fact that Christ Jesus came here as a servant. He came to serve. And so he calls us in the same manner, doesn't he, to be servants of those that are around us. To be a light to this world that Paul has written of there, that we could be able to shine in this world. And he gives us that example that we, you know, we should not look every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, Paul's not talking to them about being busybodies and so on and going about in other people's affairs. He's talking about these matters of the heart, right? Of the spiritual matter, the gift that he has given us, each of us, to believe and to know that he has created within us a living soul. And so Paul uses the example. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, here's what Jesus came to show to us by example. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was true man and true God. You know, and yet, as God, he did not deem it to be something that would be demeaning to him to be here amongst us. Being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Like you and I. You know, the fact that he suffered here upon this earth as all of humanity through the course of time has suffered. Why? Because of what sin has waged upon humanity from the Garden of Eden. You know, the fact that he came here to bring something far greater than mankind could do for himself. He says, being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That he provided for us what we could not do. That alien righteousness becomes ours by faith. The righteousness that we have been meditating on with Abraham. A righteousness that did not force him to do and to act upon something to receive righteousness. A righteousness that comes by faith, knowing that it is Christ who has paid for my sin debt. That this suffering and the death was for you, right? Isn't that the operative words that we see in this work of the gospel? That it is for you to believe your sins forgiven through the name and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for you. We take that as a very personal effect of this gospel message, that we would receive it, that Christ could cleanse our hearts, that we could be washed in that blood of the Lamb, and that we could be clothed upon with that robe of righteousness. He says, wherefore hath God highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. You know, that's why we use the name of Christ, why we speak of it, because this is a powerful name. This is a name that has brought to us that great gift of salvation. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That he who has created these things, you know, and John speaks so beautifully of it in the opening of his gospel message, you know, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Christ himself, that brings to us this hope of everlasting life, that brings a true joy into our hearts. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Now, Paul's not telling us to go, well, go back to the law now and see how you can make these things work. No, he's saying, understand that this is for you. He says, you know, I don't want you to look upon me, because I think many times we look upon someone else, perhaps the one that was preaching the word when that word really struck. All of a sudden we want to lift them up. Paul's saying, don't lift me up. He says, work out this salvation for you. He says, this is what God has given to you in Christ. He says, work it out with fear and trembling. This is a powerful thing that God has given. You know, this is something that we don't want to take lightly. We want God to be able to work within our hearts. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is God's working in us. This is us being still and knowing that he is God. Coming to the place of recognizing that this is his great love for us. You know, and then through that love, there flows this powerful work of sanctification, doesn't it? Paul tells us in the Corinthian letter that it is Jesus Christ has become unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. It's a clothed upon sanctification. It's not a sanctification that we work to achieve. It has been brought to us through the work of the gospel, through the cleansing of our hearts, through that blood of Christ. And it brings to us that ability to and that desire to work here upon this earth to share this message of the gospel. Isn't that the greatest gift of sanctification, is that those that have believed desire to share this message with others, to speak of this peace that God has brought into their hearts. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be found blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, it doesn't seem like we're lights sometimes, does it? But if we carry within our hearts this message, this powerful message of the gospel, and believe it and lay hold of it, then we do shine as lights in this world, to come to that place of being able to console one who has come to know his sins. You know, to console one who does not know the peace of God. You know, that hope that lies within us, we're able to testify of the reason for that hope. Because I believe that that's what the world sees in the believer. Sometimes when God is working in a powerful way, he sees that peace that dwells within the heart and within the life of the believer. And it becomes that light. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul says, this is my life. This is what God has called each one of us to run and to labor for in this vineyard that God has created for us. He says that we would hold forth that word of life, to be able to proclaim it. He says, yea, and if I be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. You know, Paul didn't know what his outcome was going to be in the prison there at Rome. He didn't know. He was held in basically a cave. You know, we visited that when we were traveling in Rome. You know, it was basically a part of the sewer of Rome. And they were let down with a rope and through a hole. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but he had a freedom, he had a peace, he had a joy dwelling within his heart. It was the work of God, the work of the Spirit, which is, you know, brings unto us that great gift of knowing the righteousness that Christ has provided for us. And it brings into our hearts a true joy that we can rejoice. Even in times of difficulty, we can give thanks unto God for that great gift of salvation, because we know that He carries us through time, and that one day we will be able to sing that eternal song of salvation, rejoicing with the saints that have gone before and the saints that will come, singing that new song that will sing praise unto the one who has loved us and given himself for us. To him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for a word that's eternal, for the gift that you have given for each one of us even today, that we might believe this word, lay hold of the promises that you have given, but to know the surety that the gospel brings, that our sin debt has been washed away as far as the east is from the west. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Someone have a song? Number 100 in the blue book.
Thank you. Thank you.